we're going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So life has a way of grinding you down. And I'm very aware of this, especially when we get into the holiday season. Because once we hit into the holiday season, it seems like whatever you are feeling right before the holiday season, it intensifies. And a lot of people, they're a little stressed out. Well, the holidays tend to bring that and exaggerate it. It even gets to the point where some people who are normally happy and joyful before they hit the holidays have a trigger. They remind them of something painful, or they remind them of loss. Instead of it being a joyful time, it ends up being a sad season, and it's difficult for a lot of different people. Some people are good. They chill through it, and they just, you know, they have joy no matter what. But there was a prayer request not too long ago that came in, and it was anonymous, and I wanted to read this to you so you could just hear. But listen to the pain, and you might identify not hopefully with everything, but maybe with one or two things that this person listed. And they said this. They said, "I feel like I'm in a war zone. Feel like I'm going from one battle to the next. I'm dealing with arguing, conflicts, fighting with my wife and family nonstop. I clash with my kids. I fight. I feel like every day is a fight with my job. I'm struggling with debt that continues to grow. I'm battling with my weight and my body. I feel like my body's falling apart. There's conflicts in my emotions. I'm struggling in my own fears. I'm battling anxiety because of all this. I'm depressed. Because I'm depressed, I'm short-tempered. Sometimes it feels like I'm just fighting to keep my head above water, and I'm just so tired. Please pray for me." And I was reminded of this when I was studying for this message, and I thought, how can I articulate tonight how God is good even when somebody's going through something like that? Because when you're going through something like that, and maybe you haven't gone through all of that, God, I hope not, because that's pretty terrible. But there might be somebody who's going through something like that, one aspect of it. And when you go through something like that, it gets really difficult. Whenever you hear a preacher start talking about the goodness of God, and you're thinking, nothing in my life is good right now. Preacher? What are you talking about? And we're going to deal with that tonight. You start getting worn down and you find yourself in the middle of a battle. Where can I find and how can I really still see the goodness of God? And we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to break this down. This is such a powerful passage. It's a metaphorical passage. It's not literal, but it's so deep in this passage. And we're going to talk, just look in verse 5, and it says this. I'm reading out of a Good News translation. "You prepare a banquet before me, for me, in front of my enemies." We all, a lot of us are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, very popular, important passage of scriptures. But this one verse stood out to me, this banquet passage. But first of all, it made me think of Thanksgiving. We're a week away, and so I was just thinking of food and, you know, ta-da. But it sounds so simple when you read this. You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. What in the world does that mean? That you prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemies, right in front of my enemies. Again, it's not literal, it's metaphorical. It was written over 3,000 years ago. How can something written 3,000 years ago help me today? Anytime I read scripture, that's a question I ask. How can something that was written 3,000 years ago, how does it apply in my life right now? Because if it doesn't apply, what's the point? Being honest. And so I'm going to show you how, I'm going to really break this down phrase by phrase, word by word, and help you understand how this powerful passage impacts your life in a tremendous way right a week before Thanksgiving 2019. So we're going to ask ourselves some questions. Anytime you start to break down scripture is what we learn in Bible college, Bible school, or seminary. You learn how to break down scripture, and you have to ask specific questions, and you've got to tie scripture together and interpret it right. So we're going to tie this together. It's going to be a fun night, and it's going to be interesting how we do this. So there's questions you have to ask if you're going to break this down. The first question, if we're going to learn how this applies and shows us the goodness of God 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, first question we ask is, all right, well, what kind of banquet is this? What kind of banquet are we talking about here that is important enough to change my life? First thing is this. When we start breaking this down, David said, "You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies," and he starts with the word "you." Who's he talking to? God. God. "You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. He's talking about God. So write this down. Here's something we learn right away. God is the one hosting this banquet. This is a dinner party that God himself is putting on for us. So this is from God. If it's from God, it's for me. If it's from God, it's his purpose, it's his will for me. So he's hosting this. So that means everything after this is God's idea. It's something he originated. It's something that is a purpose. It's a plan for my life. And so it's like if you got all of a sudden, you got to your mailbox and you open it up and you've got this beautiful invitation to one of the, you know, most elaborate awards ceremonies that exist in the world. And you've been invited to that, and it's like black tie affair, and you've got to wear a nice fancy dress and get your hair did and all the fun stuff that comes with it. How are you going to be acting that night? You're going to be up all night. You're going to be on Pinterest looking up ideas. What can I wear? You're going to be thinking. You're going to be calling people. You know, if you're a dude, you're going to get a fresh haircut or want to get a fresh shave. If you're, you know, ladies, you're going to shave your legs because I know it's getting cold and you don't do that anymore, whatever. Somebody said amen. I'm almost, that's funny. But you wouldn't be able to go to bed tonight because you'd be so excited. Well, God is hosting this banquet. It's a big deal. And it's his idea and he originated it. Then David goes on to say, you prepare a banquet. That means this is something he's already thought of. This is something that God wanted. God planned this. This is from him, first of all. It's his idea. Second, he has planned this. That means it's not spontaneous. It's not just something random that may or may not happen to you. It also means this, that it means because he wants this for you, this is something that is a promise for you. This is something that you can access anytime. He has planned this for you. He's put forethought into this. It's planned. It's prepared. It's not just something random or spontaneous. Hopefully it happens. Or maybe if it does, maybe it doesn't. All right. You look at this. There's a lot. Again, we're going to break this down. And I want you pulling all the truth out of this tonight because it's really going to help you. So we learn that, first of all, God's hosting it. It's his idea. Then we learn that God has planned this because he's preparing. Now, the word banquet here, a lot of translations like King James, that word is you prepare a table. That's where a lot of you are familiar with. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's what a lot of us learned. I had to learn that in kindergarten whenever we had to memorize the 23rd Psalm. But you've got to pay attention to this because this is not just any table. Now, the word table and the word banquet are kind of synonymous, how they work here. But there's a Hebrew word that I wanted to break down, and the word is sulkin. And this word here, sulkin, it literally means the king's table. It's the king's table. This is no ordinary table. This is not like some fold-out table. How many of you at Thanksgiving, when you were little, you had the kiddie table? How many of you still have the kiddie table where you throw all the kids? You'll have like 30 kids at a little kiddie table. The paper plates, the paper cups, the sippy cups, it's a mess, it's a disaster. I remember the day I finally graduated and was old enough to move from the kiddie table to the adult table. It was such a big moment for me, but then I realized, man, these adults are boring. They're so boring. I wanted to go back to the kiddie table. I could eat with my fingers there, nobody cared. But this is no kiddie. This is no ordinary table. This word in the Hebrew means a banquet or a king's table. This isn't a microwavable dinner. This isn't something you just pop the top off and eat real quick. This is a really big deal. It's like imagine you're in a medieval castle and the king's table is one of those tables like you would see in a movie that's 70 feet long. Massive. I'm high back chairs. Fully decorated, so elaborate, just covered from one end to the other with this beautiful, well-cooked, smelling good food. It's just all this going on. It's the king's table. You know, that Hebrew word also refers to the showbread, the table of showbread through the Old Testament. You could tie those two together. So it shows the emphasis and importance of this. So it's well-planned. It's well-prepared. It's something that God wants for us. It's God's best. It's the king's feast that he's prepared for us. And he says, you prepare a banquet. And then he says this, for me. You prepare this banquet, this table, for me. So write this down. I'm the guest of honor. You're the guest of honor at this table. You're the guest of honor for this feast. You're the guest of honor for what God wants to do here. This is not just a banquet for somebody else that you're being invited to attend and celebrate them. You're the VIP. You get to sit at the head of the table. You get the special seat. You get the special plate. You get the special place setting. You get all the attention. This is for you. It's for you, and it's for the king. And this is a really big deal because you're the guest of honor, all right? In 2019 phrasing, that would be like God saying, you're my Chick-fil-A, you're my lemonade. Now, if you don't listen to Kanye, you don't know what I'm talking about and you think that I'm insane. But that's what God's saying. He's saying, you're a really big deal. That's who you are to me. You're the guest of honor. You prepare a banquet for me. And then it says this, in front of. So write this down. This is a public banquet. This is a public feast. This isn't one of those private deals. This isn't one of those closed door high society types where nobody really knows what happens on the inside. He says, people are going to watch you eat with the king. People are going to watch you receive what God has for you. People are going to pay attention to this. It's not a secret. God wants to honor you. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you, but he wants to do it publicly. He wants to do it in a way where everybody sees, everybody understands, everybody knows. He said, listen, today's your day. This is a big day for you. I'm going to throw the biggest banquet at the king's table. It's something I want for you, and I want everybody seeing it. I want everybody knowing that I'm God in your life and that something awesome is going to happen for you. And then he says this, and here's where it gets a little crazy and a little bit twisted. He says, in the presence or in front of my enemies. So God doesn't say, I'm going to prepare this amazing banquet at the king's table for you and your closest friends, for you and your closest family, for you and the people that you love the most. He says, I'm going to prepare this banquet for you, but it's going to be right in front of everybody who hates you, everybody who is fighting against you, everybody who is trying to stop you. What in the world does he mean? And why would he go from this elaborate banquet where all these good things are taking place? It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. It's something he wants for me. It's just for me. It's elaborate. All this is taking place. Why would he say it's in front of your enemy? What does that mean? It means this, that this banquet, as great as it is, it's taking place on a battlefield. You write that down. This banquet often takes place on the battlefield. Now that teaches us something very interesting and very powerful. That means that this banquet for you and I as a believer, it's not just for when we're going through the good times. That means God's not just good to us when all the world and everything is going well for us. The king says, even when you're under attack, in the very presence of people who are attacking you, I'm going to set up a feast. I'm going to set up a banquet for you. They're going to be forced to watch me honor you, bless you, put favor on your life. And it's not going to make any sense to anybody, but that's why I'm God and they're not. He says, right in the middle of a battle, I'm going to give you this banquet. Now, who is our enemy here in the presence of our enemies? Let me go take a few moments and clarify who our enemies are. Now, I'm not going to go super long on this part because we just did a whole series on this called The Invisible last month. That's where I scared everybody. If you were here, if you weren't here, then you need to watch that. It's really funny. So who is the enemy? Who's the enemy? The first enemy that I have listed right now is the obvious one, Satan. Satan is clearly against us. You know, we don't have to elaborate on this too much, but again, and I don't have a lot of time to go into this forever, but Satan is real. He has tried his very best to convince people that he's not. Because then when people don't believe that he's real, then the only person they blame for everything that goes wrong in the world is God. And then if they don't believe he's real and they don't blame him for all the problems, they don't do anything to fight him. And so he's got so many people completely manipulated, completely confused. He keeps them defeated because they're not even looking for an enemy. That's how he's won so many of his battles. Satan, he hates you. He has a terrible plan for your life. Anything that God has that is a promise, Satan has for you the same curse. And you've got to understand that because God is all powerful. He's almighty. And so Satan can't touch him, can't do a thing to God. So whenever you can't hurt God and you can't hurt the one who's all powerful, what do you do go after? He goes after the things who God loves. Who does God love? He loves us. So he attacks God's creation. He attacks God's children. He attacks God's people. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to relent. He's not going to take a night off. That's why you have to keep your guard up. That's why you need to go back and listen to that series, The Invisible, because it'll help you. And so Satan goes after God's people. If he can't attack you because you've got the shield of faith up, he'll attack your family. If he can't get to them, he'll attack your grandkids. He'll attack people around you. He's going to do anything and everything he can to hurt God. And how he hurts God is by hurting who God loves. Keep that in mind, but that's our first enemy, Satan. The second enemy is the world we live in. That's an obvious one too. A couple scriptures, John 16:33, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. I had other scriptures for that first part, but I didn't get to them because I'm going through this quickly. The world is in opposition to God because of this reason. God requires and demands worship. He demands our attention. There will be no other gods but me, is what he said. You don't elevate and lift anything up above the name of Jesus. And the world loves to worship itself. So anything that in this world tells it, stop worshiping yourself and stop worshiping me, the world opposes. The world is against. The world is contradicting. And so this world that we live in, once you make Jesus your Lord, you've got to remember that. You're no longer of this world because your affection, your heart, your worship goes to one thing and one thing only, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus. And that's how he operates. And so the world hates God. And the world is always coming after you because the world is trying to distract you to get your worship and your focus and your attention off of God, onto it, onto yourself, onto what you want, your desires, your needs. Lower that standard, lower that bar, do what you want to do, feel the way you want to feel, talk the way you want to talk, live the way you want to live. The world is against you. The world is an enemy. It's how it goes. If you've ever dealt with injustice, if you've ever dealt with bias, if you've ever dealt with any kind of gender bias, because you're a female, you didn't get something, or because you're a male, you got attacked or something, that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. About the moment you think that you've got some kind of inroad, the world will reach out and slap you around once again. That's why you don't ever get so caught up into living the world's way and thinking for one second, I can live both. I can live God's way and live the world's way. You can for a little while, but it won't last. You better be careful. You better be careful. That is a slippery slope. And so you've got Satan who's against you. You've got the world that's against you. And again, I don't have time to go through this, but Satan hates you. This world only wants to worship itself. Satan hates anything that God loves. And so that's what you deal with. The third enemy, and this is one of the biggest ones. So this past year I turned 40, and this is true. This is a lesson that I've learned at 40 years old. And I wish 40-year-old Josh could tell 25-year-old Josh this lesson, but 25-year-old Josh had to go through the 25-year-old issues to learn this some ways the easy way, some ways the hard ways. But this enemy right here, and it's very much important, my old nature. My old nature, that old man that lives on the inside, and I don't mean literal, there's not some creepy old guy living on the inside of you. What I mean is your old way of living and your old way of thinking before Jesus. That's your third enemy. And the older you get, the more you're going to learn that you're, most of us, one of our biggest enemies that holds us back and keeps us from doing what God wants us to do is me. One of your biggest enemies is you. That's why Paul said, why do I keep doing the things I know I shouldn't be doing? This is Paul. He wrote 2/3 of this book. Hey, an invite card just fell out. And Paul said that. And if Paul said that, you're going to say it too. You're going to deal with this, all right? And Paul wrote an entire chapter about it in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things I want to do, I don't know why I end up doing. I wish I would stop. What is wrong with me? You try to figure it out, Paul. Get this right, man. And so that's the third enemy that's constantly against you. But God said, in the presence of my enemies, I'm going to throw you a banquet. I'm going to throw you a banquet. So what is this banquet? What does it symbolize in Scripture? What is he referring to? It symbolizes a couple things that I have time to go through tonight. In the Bible, oftentimes when you see or study the Bible and you see a banquet mentioned, it's referring to one of these two things. There's a few exceptions, but you could write this down if you're taking notes tonight. Number one is this. In this banquet, it means God wants to spend time with you. Even in the midst of a battle, in the middle of the worst moment, in the middle of an attack, in the middle of everything you're going through, God's saying, it's his way of saying, listen, I'll do whatever it takes to get this time with you. I'll set up a feast. I'll set up a banquet. I'll make it a dinner party. But let's just spend some time together. The big fun Christian word that we don't use as much, but we still use, is the word fellowship. It's the word fellowship. He wants to fellowship with us. And this is one of the greatest truths that exist in this word, is that the creator of the universe, the one who created all things, wants to spend time with you. You are that important, that you matter that much to God, that God doesn't just love you. We all have people in our life who we love, but we don't really like. We kind of like them, but we really don't. But we love them because, you know, love you. You want to go? Nah. You want to hang out? Nah. I'm good. I love you, though. Love you. God doesn't just love you. He likes you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be around you. He wants to hang out with you. And this is his way of saying that. He's saying, listen, let's go eat. Let's go eat something. Let's go break some bread. Go New Testament on you. And let's break some bread and spend some time together. And this is an awesome truth. And so the banquet always, it represents spending time with God, fellowshipping with God. And you know, when you want to hang out with somebody, what do you almost always say? Hey, let's go eat. God knows how we work. He made us. He knows how we're wired. If we hang out, there better be food. And this is what he's telling us. I'm going to set up a banquet. Let's spend some time together. This is God's way of saying, I want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to understand my thoughts and my plans for you. I want to show you how important you are to me. How much so that I'm willing to take time right in the middle of all this mess and spend time with you. Right in the middle of your attack. Let me encourage you. Let me build you up. Let me speak life into you. Let me speak faith into you. Let me give you joy. Let me strengthen you. Let me place my peace upon you. It'll be a nice break from all the battle that you're going through if you'll just spend this time with me. This is what God's saying. He's saying, I want to spend this time, I want to give you this banquet. Psalm 5:11, you welcome us with open arms. He's talking about God. And when we run for cover, we run to you. In other words, whenever there's a battle, when we're in a fight, we need that little time of protection. Isn't it nice to just get a break every once in a while? This is what God's saying. You deserve. I want you to have this break. What is that commercial, you deserve a break today? Is that Kit Kat? See, it always goes back to food for me. I don't know what the issue is. God says, I'm going to welcome you with open arms. I love the message paraphrase in Psalm 5. He says this, you welcome us with open arms, and when we run for cover to you, let the party last all night. Let the party last all night. God says, I know you're in a battle. He says, I know that you're fighting. You're fighting for your job. I know that you're fighting for your health. I know some of you are fighting for your dignity. Some of you are fighting for your sanity. Some of you are fighting just to make it. There's a battle going on. He says, just if you can hang on and spend this time with me, I can, in this time, in this banquet, I can refresh you. I can give you that break. I can give you that peace. Because I don't want you so overwhelmed and so overcome that you don't feel like you can keep going. You need this break. Spend this time with me. But it is in a combat zone. This banquet is in a battlefield. And so I want you to use your imagination. Y'all aren't too old to do that, right? You can use your imagination. Our cell phones have pretty much taken imagination out of everything. But use your imagination with me for a moment. Imagine that you are a soldier. You have armor on. Got your helmet and got all the armor on. You got your battle. As a soldier, you have been in combat, right? We're talking medieval times with knights and dragons and horses and all that stuff, all right? And you've been in combat for hours and days and months, and it's been dragging on, and you're exhausted. You have blood and stains and rips, and you're covered in mud, and you're so exhausted. And then all of a sudden, the king summons you. He summons you. And you've got one army on this mountain, and your army is on this mountain, and he says, I need you to come with me. And you don't know what to make of this, and he says, follow me. And he leads you down to this tent in this valley in between both mountains where all these battles have been taking place. You're cautious, you're nervous, you're not sure what to think about because you've been spending all this time fighting to make it and to survive. But you walk into this tent, and first of all, this tent is surrounded by 1,000 soldiers who look like they've not had a single minute in battle yet, just fresh and ready and strong. You walk into this tent, and in this tent, you see this magnificent, magnificent table that is 50 feet long with, I mean, all your favorite foods. We're talking comfort foods, the stuff you eat when nobody knows you're eating, all the good stuff. Fill this table with all your favorite foods. And there's only two seats at this table. Like, what in the world? You're like, who are these seats for? The first one is for you. You're my guest of honor. Like, for me? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to. But it's still for you. Who's the second seat? It's for the king. But hold up. There's a whole army out there. That's right. Because I want them to know that no matter what we go through, no matter what you've been through, no matter how difficult it's been, how battle-weary you are, at any given moment, the king has set up a banquet for you. When it does not make sense, when it baffles the minds, that you still have provision, you still have favor, you still have blessing, you still have everything you need found through your king. And you're going to get this break, and you're going to get this blessing. And so you sit down, and you start to enjoy this meal, and all of a sudden the enemy is confused. Because that enemy, it still sees. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. It's this, all of a sudden, it's this personal recognition, this amazing act of love that the king has shown you. And, you know, he knows you by name. He's prepared you this banquet right in front of everybody who's been trying to kill you. I mean, just as recently as the day before, they've been trying to kill you. And you listen, you are not a wedding crasher. It's not like you just crashed this party, hey, and you grab a chicken leg and take off running so you don't get caught. This is for you. This is your banquet. And the enemy sees this, and the enemy is confused. And it doesn't make any sense. It's like that passage, what is it, Song of Solomon 2, where he says, he brings me to his banquet table and places over me a banner, and that banner over me is love. I used to sing a little song about that when I was in kids' ministry. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not in that kind of mood. Normally I would, y'all know me. You know, if you've never known this, that God as a heavenly Father, he's proud of you. He loves you. He cares about you. What you go through and what you deal with matter to him on a daily basis, on an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute basis. It matters to him so much. How your life is lived matters to him. And he wants not just you to know how much he loves you. He wants your enemies to know how much he loves you. This is big deal stuff. And again, it confuses the enemy. Listen, when God wants to bless you, when he wants to bless you, he wants to provide for you, it does not matter. It does not matter if your enemy tries to slander you, talk bad about you. If God is promoting you, he wants you to have that job. Not an enemy, not a devil, not an individual is going to stop you from getting what God wants you to have. And this is what he's making known to us. He's saying, listen, when I have placed my blessing, my word, my life, my anointing in and upon you, even in the presence of your enemies who recently just tried to, who may be right now trying to attack you, it won't stop me from blessing you. It won't stop it. It won't prevent it. It won't hold it back. And this confuses the enemy because they cannot stop. They're powerless to do what God wants to fulfill and complete in your life. And God blesses you right in front of your enemies. So listen, talk about you for a second. In your life, what you're dealing with right now, God is inviting us to this banquet. He's inviting us to feast. And again, I'm going to continue explaining what that banquet really, really means in just another few moments. But he's inviting this. So you know the Bible says in Job chapter 36, I wrote this down last second. He said, God is gently calling us from the jaws of distress. And I love this. It's such a cool scripture. He's calling us from the jaws of distress. Now, he's not talking about jaws like shark, you know. Baby shark. And he's not talking about jaws, all right? He's talking about chomping, chewing. And this is important. He says, from the jaws of distress, he's opening to a table full of our best food. It's the same type of metaphor as we read in Psalm 23. And he's saying, listen, right in the middle of your battles, right in the middle of what you're dealing with, he's saying, I've got this banquet for you. I'm calling you to this, all right? And he says, I'm calling you from the jaws of distress. And here's the image that pops in my mind. In other words, what is it that is eating on you right now? What is it that is chomping on you? What is it that is chewing you up right now in life? I love this picture. I can't help but think of somebody chewing me up like Pac-Man. That's not healthy, but that's where my mind goes. He's saying, what is it right now that's chewing up your life, that's messing with you? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it all these things that just gnawing on you, got you stressed out, got you crazy, got you worried, got you concerned, got you consumed? God said, listen, you deserve this break. Let me give it to you. You're my child. I understand what you're going through. I want you to find peace in this moment. So come on and join my banquet. Join my banquet for you, because I'm calling you from the jaws of distress to this open place of freedom where we serve the best food. So he says that people could attack you. People can criticize you. People can dismiss you, disregard you. They can libel you. They can slander you. They can do all these things to you. But in this metaphor, it's the first thing we see. He says, I prepare a banquet for you. That means God wants to spend time with you. Get into his presence. Spend this time with God. And in this time, he will feed you. He'll feed you, which means as you eat, you get strength. As you eat, he restores. He replenishes. All the hurt, you get healed. All the pain, you find health. You find peace. This is what takes place in this banquet. You have the nourishment and refreshment. He said, it's all there. It's laid out right in front of you on this massive table. And I know it's but the issue is you might have to eat it in a battlefield. But you have to be ready. And he says, I want you to understand this. Now, that's the first thing, though. God wants to spend time with you. Second thing that a banquet means and that he's referring to is that God wants to bless me in a way that shows the world how good he is. He does. He wants to bless you in a way that shows the world how good he is. All right? You could say it like this. I'm a selfie of God's grace. I'm a selfie of God's goodness. That's what I am. When people see me, see myself, it should show them a picture of the goodness of God. Did I deserve that blessing on my life? Did I deserve that forgiveness? Did I deserve that grace? Absolutely not. But did I still get it? Absolutely so. That's the beauty of the goodness and grace of God. Is God says, listen, I'm going to give this to you, but it's not because you earned it, and it's not because you deserve it. It's because I'm so good. But I'm going to do it in a way that everybody's going to say, that was God. God's blessing is on that person's life. Look at this verse, Psalm 31:19. Your goodness is so great. Your goodness is so great. You have stored up. Everybody say stored up. Stored up great blessings for those who honor you, and you've done so much for those who come for your protection. God says, listen, in the middle of a battle, blessing them before the watching world, in the battle, in the presence of your enemies, God says, I want to bless your life so well that people look not at you, but past you to say, only God could have done this. How are you blessed in the middle of this kind of attack? How do you have peace? How do you have joy? How do you have all these things? You know, God says, listen, for those who honor me, I have stored up those blessings. So you better stay in a position of honoring God. And then once you stay in a position of honoring God with your life, you put him first, you obey, you follow. He says, I have stored up a great blessing. Stored up means this is something God planned for us. It's just what I love about Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a planned holiday. Things are stored up. We're prepared. People are already thinking about gifts they want to get and gifts they want to give. Some of us are thinking about gifts we want to receive because we're a little bit selfish. That's okay. But he's saying it's all prepared. And he said, all this is stored up. Again, this is not God just spontaneously saying, hey, you get this and you get this because you did great today. No, this is something God says, this is waiting on you. This is available for you. This is something I want for you, this banquet. And so applying this right now, he says, what are you dealing with? What are you going through right now? Is there something that you're dealing with in your life that's got your knuckles white because you've been gripping so hard? That's got you stressed out. That's got your palms sweaty. That's got you staying awake at night. That's got you focused and distracted. Instead of at work and you're doing your job and staying focused, you can't help but wander and your mind wanders and you can't pray hardly because you're so worried about it or concerned about it. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for somebody else. But he's saying, what is it that you're going through? Finances, physical stuff, relational stuff. What is it that you're going through? The jaws of distress is what Job called it. He says, I've prepared a banquet for you in the presence of your enemies, and I've stored this blessing up for you. It means that in this battle that you're fighting right now, which is intense, even before that battle began, God had a plan for your victory. He had a plan for your breakthrough. He had a plan for your abundance, for your blessing. He had a plan for that. He was already thinking, all right, I can't keep them from every battle. That's how the world's set up. I can't do it. But I can definitely plan for their victory, even through that battle. I can't keep them from all the trouble. Jesus said that in John 16. He said, you're going to have trouble. This is Jesus talking. This is not crazy Uncle Joe talking. This is Jesus saying, you're going to have trouble. So pay attention. But in this trouble, don't worry about it. I've overcome this world. But he's giving us a fair warning. So God says, I know they're going to go through stuff. But what I can't keep that and I can't prevent that. But what I can do is I can equip them. And then I can prepare for their victory. So that when they go through it, I'm there for them. Right in the middle of that battle. If they'll reach out to me and accept this invitation, I can take care of them. Psalm 35, 27. How great is the Lord. He's pleased with the success of his servant. I love that. He's pleased with the success of his servants. God loves to bless his children. He loves and he's pleased, the Bible says, when we succeed. So that leads me to the final question I want to ask for the night. And I'm just going to take a few more minutes on this. What exactly is on this menu that God has given us in this banquet? What is exactly on this menu? What does God want us to eat? And what are our favorite foods here that God's prepared for us? Here's what God has on the menu. And I just wrote it generically. Everything God has promised in his word. That's what's on the menu. You know that there's an estimated, it's like 5,500 promises in the word of God. 5,500 promises from in God's word that is from God for you. Straight from God to you. 5,500 promises. Now, here's the one thing you've got to understand about these promises. Oftentimes, when you open this book, God opens those promises. But when you close this book, you close the promises. And this is the issue right now. We live in a culture, and this is a problem for so many of us. We live in a culture where we believe because we watched a 15-second video or soundbite on Facebook or Instagram of some dude preaching who's a popular preacher that we've got the Word of God. And then when we go through an issue in life or a struggle or a battle, we try to remind ourselves of that 30-second clip and think, what Steve Furtick said, in Jesus' name, amen. Give me a break. That is not the Word of God. I'm thankful for those clips and I'm thankful for those preachers, but you better have this Word in your heart for that battle. And God says, if you listen, I've given you 5,500 promises that are for you in this book. But if you don't open this book and read them for yourself, you don't know jack squat what's on this menu. And this is the hard truth. The Bible, you know, the Bible is often referred to as, I wrote down, and it's considered fruit, bread. It's considered meat, milk, drinks, wine, sweets. Dessert. There's so many references in Scripture to what God and His Spirit are called that have to do with food. It's because this is the banquet. All these promises. This is it. In the presence of God, He says, come sit at my table, get into these promises, and nourish yourself, refresh yourself, feed yourself, strengthen yourself with my word. It'll build you up. It'll help you overcome. Everything you need is right here and found in this word. And he's saying, this is the banquet for you. The Bible calls itself the meat. The meat at different, I mean, there's so much it refers to. The Bible talks about being a taster sweeting, tasting sweeter than honey. Tasting sweeter than honey. That means this. If you don't like what that taste is in your mouth right now, change what you're eating. Why would you keep eating something nasty? I mean, it's like, and then if the Bible is considered and called the meat, all right, we're settling for like, Facebook gummies, Instagram granola bites. I don't know. We're just settling for so much less. That's not feeding us. That's not, strengthening us. But this is what God's promised in His Word. He's saying, this is the banquet for you. This is the banquet for you. And whenever you start feasting on these promises, your anxiety will go down. Your depression will begin to dissipate. He's saying, your fear will be rejected and rebuked. Peace will come in. Strength will come in. Faith and strength will enter in. You'll start seeing yourself not as a victim, but as a victor, as someone who's overcoming, as someone who can make it, as someone who's got confidence, someone who's got joy. It changes everything about you in saying, listen, you've got to make sure that you are feasting on this word. This is the banquet he set and prepared for us. It's laid out for us. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 103, the promises of your word taste sweet to me. They taste sweeter than honey in my mouth. Sweeter than honey in my mouth. Are you feasting on the word of God? Are you really taking full advantage of these promises? You know, God never shuts his blessings until you shut that book. The moment you shut that book, he shuts his blessings. And it's not his fault, it's your fault. You're rejecting them. You don't want them. If you want them, he's saying, here they are. I prepared a banquet for you right in the middle of a battlefield. But you've got to choose it. You've got to sit down and you've got to open this book and you've got to feast. So if you're not spending very much time in the Word of God, well, then evaluate that. Change right now. Make a commitment to opening up the Word of God. If you don't know where to start in the Gospel of Luke. It's about Christmas season. Start reading a chapter a day. Start reading a chapter a week. But get in the Word of God and start reading and studying. Don't just read it like you would read a book or another book or a fiction or nonfiction or a novel or a biography or, you know, one of those Nicholas Sparks books or anything like. Don't read a book. Don't read the Bible like that. This book is living. This book will speak back to you. It will. It's God's voice speaking through you. So have a notebook ready to write things down. Take a verse and write it out in your own words and paraphrase it. Or type it out if you need to on a computer. Do something to get that word in your spirit. Give God that time. And all of a sudden you'll start to see change take place. Will it happen overnight? Maybe. I'm not God. God's pretty awesome. You open up, he might do some things right away. But I know that over time, he definitely will. He'll change you. He'll transform you. That's how his word works. Now, as a pastor who loves you very, very much, you've got to be in this book every day. Now, if you haven't been, don't get under condemnation. I'm not going to call you out. Did you read your Bible? Did you? No? That's right. No, I'm not going to do that. But you need to be in this word every single day, somehow, some way, some form. Because if you have not been, this is the banquet. And if you're not eating, you're not growing. And I care very much about you growing. Very, very much. God cares very, very much about you growing. And so you've got to lay some things down. Don't let this season, this holiday season, distract you to the point where you are not in the word of God. You're not accepting this invitation to get that escape and get that break in his presence to be strengthened and nourished and refreshed and stirred. Take it. Take it full advantage of it. Psalm 34:8, learn to savor how good the Lord is. Do you do that? You learn how to savor. Taste and see is what NIV says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who what? Takes refuge in him. Blessed is the one who takes time and spends in the presence of God. Read the Gospel of Luke. Start finding out, learn what it said, what Luke's account talks about Jesus, and start reading through that. And, you know, and you know what takes place? As long as you're in the Word of God every day, then you're also not forgetting about God every day. And you're also not forgetting what God thinks about you every day. You know, there are times I was telling Elder Bill Emanuel about this today. I said, I'm preparing for tonight's message this afternoon, and while I'm preparing for tonight's message this afternoon, God started showing me stuff about Sunday. And I was all fired up, but then I was like, but hold up, God, I got tonight, I got to focus on, dude. Yeah, I did. I called him dude. That's what I do. I was like, dude, I got to fix this. I can't, you know, this is messing with me. But I was in that moment where the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and just, man, God starts pouring stuff into me because I gave him time. I gave him that time. God is wanting this banquet so bad. It's for you and him. And he's saying, listen, at any given moment, that's the beauty of this. At any given moment, this banquet is available. Right in the middle of a battlefield, right in the middle of an attack, you could be sitting at work, stressed out, going crazy. Time, I need to go use the bathroom. Go sit on that commode and pull your phone out and take 5 minutes in the Word of God. Do what you got to do. Maybe find somewhere nicer. Go out to your car, a break room, anywhere other than the bathroom. That was nasty. But you do what you've got to do to get in the presence of God. And he said, any time, any day, you can get into this word. You can get into my presence. He says, you prepare the banquet for me in the presence of my enemies. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to receive offering and be dismissed tonight. He's saying, and this is what you've got to remember. This is not just a now verse. This is a now and later verse. And what he's saying is this. remember, you can have this banquet right now, or you can have it later. It's available at any time. You open this book, you pull out your Bible app now, great, you can have a banquet. You open it up later, great, you can have a banquet. The one thing you can't do is go back. So take advantage. Take advantage. Get in the Word of God.